This Dr. Polecast is made possible with the support from Vetresen, makers of animal wellness products. Find out how you can care for your animals the safe and simple way at Vetresen.com. That's VETERICYN.com. Vetresen. Welcome to the Incredible Dr. Polecast. I'm Charles Pohl. I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the Incredible Dr. Pohl, as well as executive producer of the Incredible Dr. Pohl, Jonathan Schroeder.
Hello.
Our engineer today is, as always, Michael Stankovich. So today we're going to be talking about a bunch of variety of different topics, but I think we should start out with something that is kind of coming up and it's kind of exciting. We're going to be traveling to the Netherlands, Dad. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they want me to go over there again. Just like everything else. The Netherlands is a country that is very small and very is supportive of the show.
Well, don't you like going back home? I mean, isn't it, I mean, a little bit fun? You always complain about it. You always make it like it's such a chore, like, I got to go over to the Netherlands.
Well, the Netherlands itself is a very beautiful country, except the traffic is atrocious, except some things we just miss like crazy. And you know what that is. That is our lekkerbekjes.
Not our relatives, apparently.
No, they don't taste good. These lekkerbekjes is fish that is deep fried in their certain way, and it's available all over the place. And I tell you, that's the best hot meal you can get any time of day.
I got to tell you that, you know, going over there the last couple of times, I mean, you know, when you spend any significant amount of time over there, one of the really cool things that you kind of appreciate compared to the American way of lifestyle is that shopping is so much more enjoyable, you know, because they have all the different stores that are specialties and you go from one store down the streets and it's kind of beautiful. It's not like the big mega stores around here where you just, it's a one-stop shop. You want to get in there and get out of there. You actually do like an afternoon of shopping and it's kind of enjoyable.
And that is many times downtown where there's a whole bunch of little shops. Yeah, actually, you can see the same thing in New York downtown. You know, there are a lot of little shops and sometimes they cater to one thing or another. But that's what you see in the Netherlands all over the place. Every town has their own shopping center, but it's not just one big mega building. They're all different buildings, little side streets. So, yes, you got to know your way around. Otherwise, you get lost sometimes, too.
But, yeah, we have a huge international following, and that's the crazy thing. You know, that's why this Netherlands trip is so exciting, because we have a huge following over there. But I was speaking to a guy the other day, and he was from Peru. And he said his relatives watched the show down in Peru and that, you know, we're really popular. We've met people from Peru, Argentina, Brazil that have seen the show. So what do you think about the fact that this show is, I mean, obviously a huge success here in the North America, but around the world, it seems like we just have been speaking to people like about veterinary medicine. You have people seeking you, people thanking you from all over the world.
Yes. Of course, the Netherlands, because I was born and raised in the Netherlands, they still think as me being a Dutch little boy. And that's why they are so proud of me, I hope. I hope that's part of the reason. But for some reason or other, we also have a big following in France. We have gotten a whole bunch of letters and even some pictures that people made for us out of France. And we thank everybody, all the fans in all these places that sent things. We really appreciate it. It's not possible, it seems like, to answer everybody. We've got so many. I do read all of them, that is for sure, and try to answer as many as I can. But I don't speak French anymore. I'm sorry about that.
What do you think it is about the show? Or Charles, what do you think it is about your dad that resonates with the foreign audience?
I think it's the work ethic. I mean, honestly, you know, when you don't see that work ethic, I mean, the fact that you were raised post-World War II in Europe with, you know, you didn't have a tractor for the first few years and you did a lot of things the more old-fashioned and difficult way, I guess you would say. And that kind of instilled a work ethic in you. And I think that that's the thing that, you know, people see all over the world and admire and also appreciate about you is that you're, you know, just at 73 years old now, you're a hardworking SOB.
Wasn't Jerry Lewis and Pee Wee Herman also huge in France?
That's true. You were there also.
You're right on that same level.
So if you had to choose, though, I mean, we've had visitors from all over the world, you know, South America, Europe. We've had calls from Romania and all over the place. If you had to choose one other place to visit, like Dr. Pohl goes, where does he go?
Home. I wouldn't know. The world is big. I still would like to visit Australia and New Zealand sometime, but I don't think that's going to be possible.
You hear that, Nat Geo?
Yes.
Dr. Pohl goes down under.
Yes, and hope he comes back up. But no, Australia and New Zealand always interested me for the simple reason when I started vet school way, way, way long ago, they said that you want to become a veterinarian, that's fine. You want to practice, forget it. There's too many people in the Netherlands. And since I'd been an exchange student, my English was passable. I was thinking really about Australia and New Zealand. But things happened, and I didn't get that far. I only stopped halfway.
When you receive the feedback from your professors that if you want to practice, you pretty much have to leave the country, was that discouraging, or did you see that as a exciting opportunity to leave the country and travel abroad?
It wasn't exciting. It was just, okay, who cares? You know, if I can't find a place here, the world is big. Let's go find one where we go. And that's the way I always have been. For some reason or another, I have never been homesick. Something that I have to long for home is unbeknownst to me. It's, you know, wherever I hang my head, I'm home. The main thing is, you know, now we have this house here in the middle of our fields, and basically that's a good getaway. And I think, well, more a getaway than a home, it seems like. Home is where I hang my hat and where my work is, where the people are that I work for. Everything like that has just come together fantastic.
So as long as you can get your Dutch fish every once in a while, you're okay then?
Yeah, that would be fine. You know, every so often, whenever we go to the Netherlands, we just almost get protein poisoning. We eat so much, but it's good.
I wouldn't mind going to South Africa, actually. I mean, if that's where I had to go, I would go to South Africa. You got a, it's a beautiful country. You got about every exotic animal that you could want to see. You basically can go on a safari in Kruger National Park, and the next day, go jump in a cage with a great white. I mean, it sounds like a land of adventure.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if you go to Australia and New Zealand, where they have the Great Barrier Reef, you know, I know we were scuba diving at one time. At least you can go snorkeling there.
But there are more animals in Australia that are poisonous and deadly. It's like the entire continent's trying to kill you. You know, from the spiders to the jellyfish to the great whites to the crocodiles to the snakes. There's tons
true.
Of animals.
That's why Michigan is a very tame field here. South Africa is the same thing. Ask you know, somebody that is working with lions. You know, they can be very tame until they're hungry.
Dr. Pohl, would you ever want to go to a third world country and, say, help people with veterinary medicine that don't have access to Western medicine and modern veterinary medicine in general?
Yeah, I would love doing that, except, you know, what I would do then is leave the practice here and leave the people here high and dry. We have now 4 veterinarians in the practice, and we are working hard, and we try to keep the people satisfied with our work. You know, I've said many times veterinary medicine is a service-related business. If you do good service, people come back. And this is what we have built up here. And I want to keep that going. Leaving for an extended period, hopefully everything will go fine. You just never know. And yes, Diane always says, I have to be in control. Yes, maybe that's a pole trait, because my brother is even trying to control me. But yes, so being in control is something that is important for me, it seems like. So when I am out of the country and I'm not in control, things happen that I hope don't make it bad. So yes, going to a third world country basically was teaching. Many, many, many years ago, we went to New Mexico with the Christian Veterinary Missions, and there we were basically doing the same thing. We were explaining to ranchers how and what and why they did things that their father told them. And that was very enjoyable. Those people in New Mexico were fantastic. Horses were fantastic. But it's already a whole new thing compared to Michigan.
I don't think people realize that there's such a shortage of large animal veterinarians, even in this country. There's places in this country where there is zero access to a large animal veterinarian. So if you're raising livestock and there's something wrong with your animal, you're just left to your own devices. Much less third world countries, there's no such thing as a veterinarian. They're lucky if they have access to a regular human doctor, much less a veterinarian.
That's correct. And yes, you know, it seems always that when the food supply is depending on the health of animals, that kind of get lost, and you know, the doctors keep the people healthy, and then the food supply is in short supply. And that's why it's important that veterinarians go in all these places and try to help out. Basically, what you should do is educate local people to the basics of veterinary medicine. You know, they don't have to know everything. It is just that they recognize a bunch of diseases and have the ability to treat them.
Charles, you thinking of, after that speech, joining the Peace Corps, helping out?
Well, it would be fantastic to go, you know, to some place and contribute, you know, to a society by helping them with their, you know, they always say, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, but teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime, you know? And so that to be able to go there and know that you're going to have an impact by teaching them valuable skills on how to make sure their livestock, you know, produces for them, that would be fantastic. I mean, that could really, you know,
right.
Turn
so,
people's
so basically
lives around.
It would not be to go in the countryside and treat an animal here and there. It would be teaching, you know, explaining to people that want to know what animal diseases and what to do for them. One of my brother's friends actually was in Africa. That is already about 50 years ago. And he was actually being a supervisor of a program where he would vaccinate for rinderpest just south of the Sahara Desert. And he really loved it. He said those people, they were fantastic. But basically, he just was an administrator of the herds, the nomads that were traveling around, and where he was actually just keeping track of the number of cattle and whose cattle were vaccinated.
It's just hard to believe in this country, too. I'm from Kentucky, and Charles and I filmed a show in rural Kentucky, and that community itself was a farming community, no access to a large animal vet. If they want a large animal vet, he had to drive an hour and a half from Lexington, Kentucky, and help this community, and he was too expensive.
Yes, and that bothers me because, you know, everybody says you can make a living, you know, a very easy living on small animals, but it seems like the veterinarians are pricing themselves almost out of the market with the cost that is skyrocketing for taking care of small animals. Large animals is not a bad job. It is a little harder work, but you can make it. And this is what many people don't realize, that yes, you sometimes don't work as hard, but you work longer hours, but you still can definitely make a living on large animal medicine.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's really important that people see all sides of veterinary medicine when they're in college. I mean, some places really focus on the small animal medicine, but I think it's important that, you know, if you're a vet in college right now, to realize that there's real need in the marketplace for large animal medicine. You can make a career doing it. And while the small animal medicine side is starting to become a little oversaturated, there are too many vets doing small animal medicine. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think is just a matter of educating people where the holes in the marketplace are, and also that this is a very rewarding job if you are willing to commit to it.
Right. You have to have a lot of common sense, of course, because, you know, you can treat large animals, but large animals have a value. It sounds crazy when you say them, they have a price on their head. And when the treatment would actually exceed that price, then you do the next thing so it doesn't cost the farmer extra. It all depends, you know, what it is. Can you bring a cow back to production? can you save a beef cow so she can have another calf next year? Those are the things that are very important when you start treating large animals.
I think we have to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Looking for the best animal wellness products for your animals? Vetresen Wound and Skin Care, Hot Spot Spray, Eye Wash, Ear Rinse, and new Foam Care Shampoo has you covered. From dogs and cats to horses and livestock, our products make caring for your animals safe and simple. Visit Vetresen.com. That's Vetrisyn.com to learn more. Vetresen.
Nailed it.
Welcome back to the Incredible Dr. Polecast. Thank you for staying with us and listening to a word from our sponsor. We're in the second half of our podcast today, and I really wanted to take this opportunity to talk to you, Dad, about something that, you know, I think that you're going to be really excited about, that's really, you know, big for you. September 4th is rolling around, and what happens then? I forget. There's something big on that day.
Yeah, what is September 4th?
It's a bad day. September 4th is a bad, bad day.
It's a Dutch holiday.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Probably it is now, yes.
You're turning 73 this year on September 4th.
No, 74, right?
If you don't know how old I am, shame on you.
Your is own? It 73 or 74? I don't even know.
I know you don't know.
Once you get past 70, you
counts?
Just stop counting.
Right, you start like, counting down.
You count in fives. You're like, okay, right. You made it another 5 years. So here you go. Okay, so you're turning 74. So what is it? How does it feel like? People ask me all the time, like, how are you still this active, this young looking, this... full of vitality,
sharp
74?
I don't know. I thought everybody was this way. You just keep going and never quit. And I think that's part of the thing where, you know, the retirement was for me never a day that I was looking forward to. First of all, I had to keep working because my kids were to college. And when I came out of college, they had to find a job. And, well, that's why I kept working, just to support all my kids.
Is there a special exercise or a special diet? You take supplements?
No. Yes. No. Yeah. What? I know. For some reason or other, the main thing is, you know, eat normal. Don't overeat. Do not go out to eat many times, because many times the food,
ask that question again.
Dr. Pohl, is there a special diet? Is there supplements that you take? Are you on steroids? Is there a Dr. Pohl exercise regime that you could print in Reader's Digest for senior citizens? I hate to call you senior citizen, but how do you stay so young?
I appreciate that, John. No, that's not a special diet. The main thing is eat regular, say everything that you need. It comes out of the five food groups. And yes, you eat.
What are those food groups?
Dairy, carbohydrates, protein,
fat, everything.
Yeah,
a little bit of everything.
Beer.
Maybe not so sharp all.
Five food groups is you eat protein, starch, and.
Grains?
No, starch is grains.
Yeah.
Grains are starch.
No, not
so
always.
It's protein, grains, dairy.
Vegetables.
And.
Fruit.
Yes.
Right.
And moderate amounts of everything. You know, overeating has always been a bad thing. And what I like to say is eating on the road or off the road, where you go from one restaurant to the other, is not right now a bad thing. If you read now about the latest things, is how much salt they put in there, how much fat is in there, and yeah, those things make food taste good, But too much of a good thing never is good, as you well know. So be moderate in what you eat, keep exercising, never give up, and just say never.
And clean living too. You're not a smoker or a drinker?
No, I'm not. I never smoked. Yes, that started when you were a kid. You know, everybody steals cigarettes from mom and dad in those days, and because moms were smoking in those days too. And then you go behind the barn, and that's why so many barns caught on fire, because the kids were smoking. And so yes, you know, you were 12, 13, and the neighbor kids stole the cigarettes. So you try a couple, and my gosh, that was the worst tasting thing I ever had in my mouth. Because I was always tall and I never took advice from anybody. So when they said, hey, you want a cigarette? After that first taste of cigarette, I says, no more. So yes, for some reason or another, I never started smoking and never did. That may have something to do with it. But the main thing is, keep going. By the time that you sit still and do not do anything and just start watching TV because you're retired, you start rusting. And the main thing is, yes, you know, you can have pains, but we have painkillers. We have things that, you know, so many people now get new joints. All that is fine, but the main thing is to keep going. Do not stop.
Do you exercise or lift weights?
Diane would like me to. By the time I get home at night, I don't feel like going upstairs into the torture chamber and start lifting weights. She does, because she sits behind a desk quite a bit in the office. So yes, she exercises, but it doesn't take much of an exercise. We have also these blades that are the vibration blades, and those in itself already are a good exercise. The main thing is just keep going. Walking right now is one of the main exercises that people should do.
Speaking of walking, you're getting ready to walk the Mackinac Bridge on Labor Day. So what are you worried about that? Is that difficult at 74 years old?
No, I'm not worried that the bridge is going to fall down under my weight, because there are quite a few people on there. But no, it's a high bridge, 5.5 miles long. I think the first time we walked the bridge when you were what, 5?
Oh, young.
Yes.
And what is it? What is the event? Can you explain what that is?
It's an event in Michigan that only is one day per year on Labor Day, where they shut down half the bridge. There's 4 lanes across it. So they shut down the northbound lanes, and people walk from the north to the south. And there are a couple hundred thousand people, many times I think, are walking it. And it's quite an event. And they come from far and wide to do it. And some people have done this ever since it was started the first time. It is nice. Most of the time the weather is nice. It can be sometimes a little rainy, a little windy. But in general, it's still very nice to do it.
So I think we would be remiss. The last thing that I really wanted to talk about is, did you see on Facebook there was this little boy who asked his mom to make a birthday cake, and he wanted a Dr. Pohl inspired birthday cake of a cow giving birth to a calf. And his mother struggled and toiled and finally came up with this amazing cake. And baked it for him, and it blew up. It went viral. It was on the Today Show. It was on all over the place. There was articles I was reading about it. Like, everybody saw it. And I just wondered if you saw it, Dr. Pohl.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that somebody showed it to me, and it was amazingly. And yeah, definitely happy birthday to you, my friend. And you have a mother that is exceptional. Because that is not easy to do. I hope that the cake didn't spoil and you ate it. And I don't know what you're going to ask next year.
What is that? What do you think about that? That kids are out there asking their mothers to make them Dr. Pohl themed birthday cakes. Like, that's a thing.
That is unbelievable for me, because this show is so enjoyed by the younger generation. We have children from 1.5 years on that are watching the show and are fascinated by it. I don't know why, really, except that it is about animals, and what you see with the animals is real. Nothing is made up for this show and done to animals just to show. So what you see, what we do to the animals, are real things. And kids, I don't think you can fool them that well, and they see it. And I think this is why this show is so popular.
You're like a thing in preschools. Like, that's a thing. Like, a lot of preschools around the country and a lot of elementary schools, like, they put on Dr. Pold so that the kids can watch it. And that's starting to become a thing. And I had a friend in L.A. He had never watched the show since I produced it. He always said, it's not my thing. That's what he always said to me. It's not my thing. But I was on the phone with him, and he said, oh, I liked your show. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I really like your show. And I said, you watched it? And he said, yeah. I'm like, well, how did that happen? Because I guess it wasn't your thing. And he said, well, my son at his daycare, they were watching it. So his son got like into Dr. Pohl. And on Saturday night, his son was like, took the TV channel and put it on Dr. Pohl. And next thing you know, my friend's watching you and watching me. And I just, it kind of blew my mind that, you know, that's what's going on out there.
But the nice thing is that, you know, this is a clean show. Actually, it's dirty, but it's clean. And it is watched by the whole family. Because we have fans coming, and we get letters from fans that are from 3 to 96 years old. And we really appreciate all these fans that watch. Talking about, you know, watching and using this educational. We were at the FFA conference in Lexington, Kentucky last winter. And the ag teachers, the agricultural, the 4-H, the FFA teachers, from California to New York thanked us for the show because they used the show as an educational material in the classroom. Many of these classes in the suburbs do not have access to large animals, and if they do, it's only sporadic. So this show actually is used to teach the 4-H FFA children about large animals.
I think it's a little bit like 20 years ago, no kid wanted to be a chef, but you see all these cool guys and you see all these shows about making the food. And if Dr. Pohl's inspiring a younger generation to be a large animal veterinarian, how awesome is that?
It's very awesome. It is unbelievable. And I hope that some of them will stick with it. And maybe in 20 years from now, we'll have more large animal veterinarians that can take care of our farm animals.
Thank you, folks. That's all the time we have tonight. We'll be back with you very soon with an all-new Incredible Dr. Pohlcast.